Some rare feathered specimen have caught the attention of birders in the Tantramar area. A great white egret has been seen hunting for fish among the cattails of the water retention ponds in Sackville, reportedly for at least a month. The other is a green-tailed towhee. That one has been spotted behind Tantramar High since mid-December. What do these two birds have in common? Both of them are way outside of their usual range. The towhee is commonly found in the southwestern United States and also in Mexico. The great egret can be found across South America and parts of North America, but Tantramar would normally be far from its northern limit at this time of year. Well, for more on the story, CHMA reached out to some local bird experts. They said the northern range of birds is expanding because of climate change, but these birds might be examples of ones with a broken compass, and in particular, the egret might have found a great fishing pond. But the cold weather we're experiencing may bring danger. There is currently a special weather statement in effect for a winter storm with freezing rain expected in southeast New Brunswick. First, we go to an interview with Beth McDonald. She's a lab instructor in the biology department of Mount Allison and teaches ornithology.
I was actually with the group that found the green-tailed towhee. So I was with John Klimko and Gianco Angelosi doing a Christmas bird count, and John spotted it. So I was there when it was found, which was very exciting. And then the great egret is at the retention pond, which is close to where I live, and I walk there regularly. So, you know, I have seen it there as well. So the great egret is a pretty magnificent bird. It's a large bird, you know, it's similar to a great blue heron. For most people, it probably stands out. It's also, you know, we don't tend to have great blue herons this time of year. And so to see this kind of large white heron-like bird around this time of year, it sort of stands out for most folks, I think. The towhee is a little bit different because it's a sparrow. It's smaller. Its plumage is quite distinctive. It's quite different from the sparrows we have here, but I think it's a bird that would probably be more likely to be noticed by, you know, a birder.
Yeah. And so, as you mentioned, on one hand, you've got this very majestic, very large white bird. And on the other hand, the sparrow that is described as having distinctive mossy green feathers and a rust colored tuft on its head. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Drawing from the CBC article, it cited a naturalist who said that bird would normally be found in open, arid, desert areas such as the American Southwest.
Yes. So that bird is very, very far off course. It's quite far out of its range. The egret is closer. You know, we do see egrets here with relative frequency. They're not, you know, a resident bird, but we certainly see them. But the towhee is very unexpected. Not something that anyone would have ever expected to show up here. So that's what makes it kind of so remarkable to find it.
And this person commented that it possibly came to Tantramar with a storm and landed here because it's a flat, open area. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to know. You know, that bird is very far from home. So to me, I would expect there to be some sort of navigational issue. You know, birds can either learn, there's sort of some species kind of learn their migration routes, others it's more innate. And there's lots of different ways that birds use to navigate. And, you know, when I think of a bird from the Southwest showing up in New Brunswick, I would say it's probably got a bit of a broken compass. But certainly a storm could be a contributing factor as well. It's very common for storms to, you know, with migrating birds to be blown out by storms and then, yeah, to kind of land in, an open available area. So, that's pure speculation, but I would expect that, you know, it's one of those, you know, I've talked with a number of other birders and we're wondering how long has this bird even been here? Could it have been brought in, you know, during Hurricane Fiona or something like that?
And as you mentioned, the great white egret, this is a kind of bird that may stay in New Brunswick during the warmer months. But typically, as it says in this article, it normally travels as far north as southern Maine in the summer. So what the heck do you think is doing here so late in the season?
Yeah, again, so that's a bird that is, although it's surprising for it to be here in the winter, it is less surprising that it's here at all. So we certainly do see them. So with birds that end up in the wrong place, there's lots of things that can contribute to that. Like I said, sometimes it's storms blowing them off course. Sometimes it's, birds that kind of just got in the wrong direction, particularly with young birds when they're kind of learning, that can happen. There's a phenomenon known as reverse migration, where a bird ends up, actually going in kind of the opposite direction that it's supposed to be. Range expansion and climate change are for sure related. And this bird, the great egret, from, what I've read about it, it is quite a sort of generalist bird that's quite flexible, and it adapts pretty well to, kind of human areas. And so,
like the retention pond.
Would climate change be contributing to the range expansion of that bird? I would say yes. Is that the reason why this particular bird is here? It's hard to say. If we start seeing them regularly, then I would say that. But for a single bird, it's hard to, to know exactly what brought that individual here.
And that was Beth McDonald of Mount Allison University. Next, we'll go to an interview with Moncton-based ornithologist and broadcaster Alan Clavette. You may know him from his weekly birding column on Fridays on CBC. He emphasized that photographers should avoid getting too close to the birds, especially as they may need to conserve energy that could get burned up if people cause them to take flight.
Egrets have this phenomena in their natural history, which is called post-breeding dispersal. And very often, it's a way for the species to be able to colonize new habitats, new territories, And very often, young egrets, after they're born, or non-nesting birds, will wander sometimes far up north to try to find, good places. And I think that's what happened with this egret. Actually, at one point in the region, there was three great egrets last fall or end of summer, which was definitely, one of those post-breeding dispersal phenomena. That particular one, why the hell did it stay there, is beyond me, really. But, it's kind of funny, David, because if you look at the... I was saying before Christmas, I said, this egret might know something we don't know, in the sense that maybe the winter won't be that harsh. And, well, so far, I mean, when we think about a bird like that has survived... It might be able to survive. I'm scared that we're going to get some cold spells of a few. If it only lasts one or two nights, she might make it. But the thing is, when they are at the extreme end of their capacities or like that, the only way to survive a cold night is by shivering, super fast contraction of their muscles. And that needs a lot of fuel. So thankfully, this bird is getting a lot of mummy chugs. Those are little fish that she's finding in those retention ponds. Little flat-headed fish that are very common in our brackish waters. And that this retention pond seems to be just packed with it, and the little creek also adjacent to it. And it's fending really, really well for itself. And I think it might have been part of the problem. This young bird might have found, and I assume it's a young bird, because usually in post-breeding dispersal, those are non-nesting birds. It might be an older egret, but one thing for sure, it found a stash of food that was really interesting, and maybe too interesting at one point, when it would have been time to get out of Dodge and start flying south. It was just too content to stay there and to fill up on these fish. So why is it that it didn't leave? It's just speculation, might be a problem in its navigation system. Very often we say vagrant birds are dead bird walking because, something is wrong with their bearings when it comes to migration. Maybe its natural clock is off. Something is off because at the photo period, getting shorter and shorter, approaching the end of November, even end of October, this bird should have gone south, but it stayed and it kept on feeding and stayed. And at one point, if this water over there would freeze, it would be doomed. So far, so good. I have not gone back because I'm trying to restrain myself to participate in the photography circus that this poor bird has enticed.
You were quoted in a CBC story noting that you're worried about, with so many people around, it might get scared into energy-wasting flights.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing. You know, right now, every single bit of energy this bird can save because, like I say, she needs that energy to shiver to be able to keep warm, to survive. And every time we get her to, and I say her, it could be a he, every time we get this bird to take off because of pressure of humans, it wastes energy that it should not be wasting. So, and it's not, you know, I've been there. I've seen, you know, there's trails around. People are walking dogs and everything. It's fine. It's got used to the presence of people. It's the photographers that are pushing the envelope, you know. You know, you're getting a shot. You know, you can get better, maybe a bit closer, and maybe a bit closer, better, closer, longer. And at one point, it's putting pressure on this bird.
That was Moncton-based ornithologist and broadcaster Ella Clevette. Before that, we heard from Beth McDonald, a lab instructor in the biology department at Mount Nelson. She also teaches ornithology. Both of them spoke to CHMA on Wednesday.